fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, and we're going to consider today the Proverbs contained in verses 24 to 28. That's Proverbs, chapter 12, verses 24 to 28. Now, this chapter is part of the central section of the book of Proverbs, beginning in chapter 10, verse 1, and concluding with chapter 22, verse 16. Now, this is a collection of Proverbs in the accepted sense of the term. They are pithy sayings which express wise rules of conduct. They give warnings. They give lessons drawn from experience. And they also provide moral reflections. These are called the Proverbs of Solomon, and for the most part, they are unconnected sentences without systematic order or logical sequence. However, they are remarkable for profound thought and acute observation expressed in antithetical or illustrative form. The whole of these proverbs comprises a divine system of morals of universal application. And the proverbs before us today, there are five of them, one for each verse. And the first is a proverb regarding rewards. Verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So you have, first of all, in contrast, the reward of the diligent and the reward of the dilatory, or slothful, or the sluggard. And what is the reward of the diligent? Well, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, that is, the person who diligently engages in his work and goes about it with determination and does it well, then he will be promoted to the place of leadership. He will have people under his authority. He'll be brought to a place where he can direct the affairs of the institution or the business in which he's engaged. But on the other hand, the slothful shall be under tribute. That is, they will be brought into a place of subservience to the diligent. And they will have to perform their task under the direction of those who are placed over them. Or it can even go further than that. They become enslaved to their own dilatoriness, their negligence. It pays to be diligent. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word in that verse, in 2 Timothy 2:15, literally means to be diligent. Be diligent as Christians. We're also told that we're to give diligence to add to our faith virtue and our virtue knowledge and our knowledge and so on down the line, these great virtues that are graces that are set forth in one of Simon Peter's letter. We're to be diligent. God does not countenance, does not excuse laziness or slothfulness or dilatoriness or negligence, but God puts a premium upon diligence, and therefore the diligent is rewarded by promotion to a place of leadership. In verse 25 we read, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Here's a proverb that regards encouragement. The first part of the verse speaks of the need of encouragement, where it says, "Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop." That is, a person who goes about with a heavy burden upon him that seems not to be able to be lifted, that person stoops under that load. He's in desperate need of a word of encouragement. And we're living in a day when people are in desperate need of encouragement. Encouragement in the ways of God. Encouragement in the pathway of right doing. Encouragement for a job well done. Encouragement for standing upon principle and on convictions that are right. There's so much to discourage. Well, not only does this proverb speak of the need of it, but speaks also of the nature of encouragement that can meet that need. It says, "A good word maketh it glad." Now, this word "good" literally means a kind word. A kind word, a word that's spoken with a view to lifting the heavy load that's upon the heart of the one who stooped down under it. A word of kindness. Dear friends, kindness does not cost anything, but it pays great dividends in the encouraging of a heart that is discouraged and almost to the place of despair. But then this proverb not only speaks of the need of encouragement and the nature of encouragement, but the effect of encouragement. A good word maketh it glad, brings joy to the heart, puts a spring in one's step, lifts the load that's upon the heavy heart, so that one who stooped under that load straightens up and walks with his head high, not in pride, but in thankfulness and in encouragement and with courage to face the future. So here's a proverb regarding encouragement. Verse 26, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them." We have in this proverb two things. One, the excellence of the righteous, and second, the seduction of the wicked. And these two things combined give us a proverb regarding guidance. The word "excellence" can mean guidance. And it can mean this: the righteous seeketh guidance from his friend or from his neighbor. That is, the righteous man is not self-opinionated. The righteous man does not think he has the last word upon decisions that have to be made. The righteous man is always looking for the proper counsel and guidance from his friends, that is, those whom he believes has right counsel. This is one possible interpretation of this part of the verse. But it also means superiority. And so it can mean the righteous is superior to his neighbor, especially if that neighbor is not a righteous one. The righteous person is superior in so many ways to his neighbor. He's the one who has superior convictions. He's the one who has superior purposes in life. He's the person who has superior direction in life. And so he's more excellent in these ways than his neighbor. However, the converse of this is set forth in the latter part of the verse, which says, "The way of the wicked seduceth them." Now, that is that the wicked are led astray by their own way. They do not seek counsel and direction and guidance from those who are able to give proper guidance. So they go their own way, and so they're seduced by it. And the Word of God says in the first Psalm that the way of the wicked shall perish. And consequently, when God speaks of how a wicked man might have pardon from the Lord, and might be made righteous in the sight of God, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's abundant pardon and great mercy to those who walk in the pathway of wickedness when they turn from that way unto the Lord for salvation. So verse 26 gives us a proverb regarding guidance. Verse 27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Here we have a proverb regarding diligence. Now, there's no question but what in this proverb there is a contrast between slothfulness, or the sluggard, and diligence, or the diligent. It says in the first part of the verse that the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. This speaks of the wretchedness of slothfulness. This speaks of the fact that even a person who goes out hunting and he captures or kills his game, if he's a sluggard, if he's a slothful man, he's too lazy even to roast that which he's taken, to supply himself with the necessary food for which he went to take his prey. He leaves it to the beasts of the field and the vultures of the air to pick the bones of the carcass of the animal which he has taken in hunting. He's just too lazy to prepare it for himself and enjoy the benefits of his hunting. However, the second part of the verse says, the substance of the diligent man is precious. The man who has been diligent in his work, that which he has gained from his diligence, is precious to him. He enjoys it. He prizes it highly. And he uses it wisely. And so here is a proverb regarding diligence. And now in verse 28, we read, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. This proverb regards righteousness, or right doing. Two things it says about it. Number one, right doing is the living way. When a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior from sin, God puts him in the pathway of righteousness. He sets his feet upon a rock and establishes that way and guides him in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And this is the living way. And the converse of this statement is that in the pathway thereof there is no death. That means that he will not spend eternity in the second death at the end of that way. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God not only gives us abundant life here, but when we know him, we walk in that life and in that light, and at the end there is eternal life rather than eternal death.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.